Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lab podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today, we review the seasons of Ferrari, Force India, and Toro Rosso. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Vogel. Hello everyone to episode 69 of the Fastest Lab podcast, and welcome to our end of season team review for, as I said, Ferrari, Force India and Toro Rosso. So yeah, let's directly start with the first team. And this year we introduced a new rating system. Well, not we didn't introduce it, but well, we copied it from the school scale, and we rate the teams from A to F for this season. So yeah, let's start with the top team for this episode, and it's Ferrari. Well, what a season it was for Ferrari. I think when they won the Australian GP, everyone was like, whew, well, great, this season we've got a fight on our hand between Ferrari and Mercedes. And well, it turned out to be like that. All season we had Ferrari versus Mercedes, and well, although it didn't play out for Ferrari, they didn't win the title, neither driver nor the constructors title, but all in all, I'd say they made a big step and closed the gap towards Mercedes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, considering where Mercedes were in 2016 and considering where Ferrari were in 2016, there was a huge gap, and many people were tipping Red Bull to be the team that would challenge Mercedes, and no one really considered Ferrari, well, too much. Some people, well, they were considered, but Red Bull were really seen as the favourites. And then, yeah, I mean, come the Australian Grand Prix, they really, yeah, they were sort of fighting Mercedes right from the get-go. And I think I remember thinking after the Australian Grand Prix that it was a bit too good to be true.
Yeah, me
that
too.
We would have a title fight between two different teams. But yeah, I mean, it proved to be a title fight. And although at the end of the year the margin was quite big, I think there was very, very good reasons for that, and none purely based on the pure speed between the speed difference between the two teams. So yeah, I mean, it was a great year for Ferrari, a real resurgent year, and yeah, of course, did miss out in the end on the championship and the well, on both championships they missed out on, which was a shame if you're a Ferrari fan or if you're a fan that wanted to see someone else other than Mercedes win. But yeah, I was really, really happy to see that Ferrari was able to come out again and challenge at the front of the grid.
A bit of a random question: what do you think is Ferrari? Is the Ferrari engine still behind the Mercedes one? Far behind.
Far behind? No, behind. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too.
I read an article there the other day about how I think Mercedes are close to breaking 1,000 horsepower on their combustion engine, which
just from the engine, or just from the engine, or with the whole package?
Yeah, just from the engine.
Wow.
I mean, I think they reported last year that they were close to breaking horsepower through the whole power unit, but this is just from the ICE, the internal combustion engine. But yeah, I think Ferrari still are a little bit down in power, but of course the big regulation change in 2017 was focused on aerodynamics, and yeah, but I think definitely Ferrari some improvements on the engine side.
But also, I think it was from 2017 onwards that they were free to develop their engine, or was it 16? I think it was 17, right?
Yeah, yeah, 17. There was no tokens.
Yeah. Yeah, they got rid of the token system. Everyone was able to develop their car, their engine. Should have helped McLaren, but that's another topic, and we'll talk about McLaren Honda in our next week episode, so stay tuned for that. But yeah, Ferrari, we talked about the team. Good step up from 2016 to 17 to close the gap. Drivers, I don't think we really need to discuss the qualities of Sebastian Vettel, his driving qualities. Well, maybe we have to discuss his qualities in controlling emotions. yeah, all in all, I think even without that incident in Baku where he kind of lost his cool a bit and yeah, drove into Hamilton's car, I think even without that, he wasn't really in the position to win the title this season. And in the other car with Kimi, it's strange, you know. You kind of, or you would expect Kimi to match Vettel at least at some occasions, but I think the closest one he got this season was, well, first of all, Monaco, where he led the race for a good amount of time, but also Hungary, where he was really close. But yeah, what did you think of the drivers?
Yeah, well, I think Vettel, I mean, you said already, Vettel is a quality driver. I mean, he's a four-time world champion. And I think this year was probably his most difficult year. Well, maybe arguably his most difficult year in a title challenge, because I think he did have a bit of an inferior car to Mercedes. I mean, while they were pushing Mercedes all the way, I don't think they were quite on the level of Mercedes when you round up the whole season. But yeah, I mean, I think enough has been said on the incident in Baku. Vettel knows he messed up, and I doubt anything like that will ever happen again. And then in terms of Raikkonen, yeah, I mean, Sergio Marchionne, as you said, yesterday, I think it was, that he still believes that Raikkonen possesses quality pace, but Ferrari just need to find a way to unlock the pace through the car. So yeah, I think Raikkonen showed that pace in Monaco, where he set a great pole lap. But yeah, I think it's an okay driver pairing, but clearly Ferrari are expecting more of Kimi Raikkonen, and I think next year, if they don't get it, he will definitely be replaced for 2019.
Yeah, and I think there's a good chance for that, especially if Charles Leclerc performs really, really well in a Sauber, and I'm absolutely hoping for that to happen. So let's see. Great for Ferrari. I'm going to start. I would give them a B. Good season, good step up, but for an A, it wasn't good enough. I think they, if they had won the title, an A would have been appropriate, but so I'll just give them a B.
I'm going to challenge that, and I'm going to give them an A. Because I just think, compared to where they were in 2016, and after so many years of drought and sort of not being able to fight, to finally come out with a car that is able to fight for wins and everything. And like I said, comparing to where they were last year, I think they did a really, really good job, and hopefully they'll be even stronger next year so we can get a really, really, really close title fight. But I just think they did a fantastic job this year, and I think they're fully deserving of an A.
Yeah, I mean, that rating's also understandable. So yeah, all in all, I think we can agree that it was a good season for them, and another good season, I would even say an even better season, regarding their budget especially and their manpower, had Force India. They finished P4 in the Constructors' Championship, a long way ahead of Williams. We talked about Williams in our last episode. So Yeah, I mean, phenomenal season by Force India. They struggled a bit at the beginning of the season. I think they had some kind of correlation issues with their wind tunnel. But yeah, in the later season, good job, really. I mean, they were consistently on pace, whatever track they came on. And also their driver pairing. I mean, I regard those two drivers as two of the stronger drivers in the whole paddock with Ocon and Perez. And yeah, we also gave our driver of the season award to Ocon. So yeah, not much to criticize really about Force India apart from, well, they couldn't control their two drivers crashing into each other.
Yeah, that was the one big negative of their season, wasn't it? Yeah, but overall, I mean, they did very, very well. I mean, in the episode we spoke about how Williams and Force India in 2016 were very, very close, fighting for fourth place. But this year, in 2017, I mean, Force India were miles ahead of Williams, finishing way, way ahead in the constructor standings. And yeah, they were so consistent. Like you said, every track they turned up to, they seemed to be the fourth best team every weekend. So yeah, I mean, great season from them, and their driver pairing was very, very good. But yeah, the only negative was that they weren't able to, sometimes they just came a bit too close. I mean, we've seen it in, well, where was it?
Spa,
in Hungary, they actually touched as well in the first corner, and of course there was that in Canada where Perez wouldn't move over, and then I think they both will learn a lot from 2017. But I think it's going to be very, very difficult for them to retain fourth place next year. Especially with McLaren getting Renault engines, I think McLaren should be at the very least targeting fourth place in the constructors next year.
And also Renault investing more money.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Renault could be challenging Force India next year. It depends, but yeah, it's been a very strong number of years for Force India. I mean, they didn't get a podium. Which is, a bit of a shame for them. Of course, the only midfield team to get a podium was Williams, through Lance Stroll. And actually, I think Stroll was the only driver from a non-winning team in 2017 that got a podium, which is a pretty strange statistic. But yeah, I think overall Force India should be very, very happy with their season, because they just performed very, very well.
Yeah, and let's just don't start the Stroll discussion again. We had that last episode. So yeah, Force India, I mean, for me, clear A, nothing to discuss there. But what do you give them now if you gave Ferrari an A? It must be an A++++ or something.
Yeah, well, I give them an A as well. But it's just, you know, they're A's for much different reasons. I mean, Force India don't have to win the Constructors and Drivers Championship to be deserving of an A.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta take in their budget, their, you know, whatever, all the factors, and yeah, to me, they streaked ahead. They were the clear leaders in the midfield, and are should deserve no less than an A.
All right. Then let's move on to the next and last team to review in this episode, which is Toro Rosso, of course, the sister team of Red Bull Racing. And yeah, I think drivers, we had to discuss many drivers in this review if you wanted to talk about all of them. But yeah, let's start with the team performance as such. To be honest, I can't really remember too much about their season. Can you?
No, and I was just going to say that. I mean, it was sort of a, yeah, I mean, it wasn't a terrible season from them, but it wasn't a great season. It was kind of where you expect for Russell to be. But I think I think a lot of the stories that Toro Rosso made this year were all done off track, which is never really a positive thing. I mean, the biggest discussions that came from their season was the drivers, really. And of course, there was that little fiasco about Renault engines towards the end of the year. But yeah, I think Toro Rosso, they're not really a team that you'd expect to be, doing very, very well. Perhaps because they are the junior team of Red Bull and whatever. But it was kind of it was a season of normality, I guess, for Toro Rosso. Well, when you just forget about the whole driver mix-up, and there was like three weekends in a row where each weekend was a different lineup completely.
Yeah, and the USA, like Fiat was driving, but not using his engine allocation and using Sainz's engines, and it was so messed up.
Yeah, it was. But in saying that, two drivers got their debuts for Toro Rosso this year. Two drivers that are rated pretty highly. I mean, I to be honest, after 2016, I wasn't the biggest fan of Pierre Gasly. I mean, despite winning the title in GP2, I thought he should have done it more convincingly because he had Antonio Giovinazzi as his teammate, who was a rookie, and the fight went all the way to the final round in Abu Dhabi. But then I think in Super Formula this year, he did very, very well. And then we, of course, had Brendan Hartley, who I think is a very underrated driver, and I think his sort of comeback into the pinnacle of motorsport is sort of a bit not talked about enough, because he was a test driver for Red Bull and Toro Rosso, and he was also a test driver for Mercedes as well back in 2012, I think. So yeah, I think it's great to see the both drivers have a seat for next year, and they will have to improve somewhat from where they were at the end of the season. But of course, I mean, they will come into next season with much more preparation, and depending on the car, they should be aiming to score plenty of points throughout the year.
Well, nothing to add there. I think everything was in that statement. So, yeah, let's go directly to the grades, and I'd give for me, especially with that engine situation and the driver situation and everything, kind of in between. I'm thinking something between D and E, but. You know what? I'll give them a D because the livery was really good, so
That's as good as reason as any. Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna agree with you there. I mean, it wasn't an amazing season from Toro Rosso. It wasn't a terrible season from them. And yeah, I'm gonna just say it was a D also.
All right. So that's it for this episode then, and let's see what we can say about Red Bull, Renault, and McLaren in next week's episode. So until then, goodbye and have a nice Christmas time.
Goodbye.